You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
So good to be with you all this morning. You're having fun in church? Who knows that church is a fun place to come? Place full of joy in Jesus' name. And we're so grateful for you, the body of Christ, for investing and partnering with God in all that you do. But I just want to take a moment to celebrate Adam's birthday. It's Adam's birthday today. I asked him if he'd come and do the splits on stage, but he said he's too old now. So, unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Maybe another time. Get practicing. Next birthday. We'll bring it back for next birthday. We've got a year to get it back. Hey, it's so good to be with you. I was in Sheffield next week with our family up there. And they had a great time. It was so good to be with Pastor Josh and Carly. It was awesome. But I'm so glad to be home at the same time. You know, like that feeling of when you go on holiday, but you're just glad to get home. It's like, I enjoyed the holiday, but there's nothing like your own bed. It's kind of one of those feelings. I really love being with them, but just to be with you just is just, it's home, it's good, and I'm glad to be back with you today. And we are in our Christmas series. Can you believe it? It is Christmas, everybody. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's Christmas. Well done, Ruth. It is Christmas, and you know how I know that it's officially Christmas? It's because we sang a hymn in church. It might not have sounded like a hymn, might not have felt like a hymn, but it was a hymn. And I love that we can jazz things up, we can make it our own, because who knows that it's not the melody or the music that carries the power, but it's the weight of the truth in the lyrics. And I think so many times it gets to this season and we can miss the truth of Christmas or the truth in the weight in the lyrics of the songs over and over familiarity with the season or the melody of the song. And I just want to remind us all today that the power of Christmas is in Jesus, in the truth of Jesus. And in our series, it's called Now That's What I Call Christmas. And we're looking at different songs, different hymns, and we're drawing out the truth that are in them. And we're going to be encouraged by that. And today we're looking at O Come Holy Faithful, which is why we sang it this morning. It was awesome. And it's a great song that's been sung for over 200 years in English. And it was translated from Latin into English in the mid-1700s by John Francis Wade. And it was translated by two English hymnologists. I had to Google that to make sure that it was an actual word. Hymnologists. It's real. Frederick Oakley and William T. Brooke. And the warning on the tin today, the tension of the message is, let's not get so over familiar with the melody that we miss the truth of the lyrics. Who knows that it's the power of Jesus that has the ability to change everything in our lives, not just the markers and the trees and the gifts of the season. See, whether we realize it or we don't, everybody right now is living in an opportunity to have the truth of Jesus shared to them. This is the easiest time for you as a Christian to tell somebody about your faith. We've just done a whole series called On Display. And this Christmas season, I believe, is an opportunity to put your faith on display. Today's message is called, Now That's What I Call Faith. And I want to just take a moment to look into the life of Frederick Oakley, the driving force of the translation of O Come Holy Faithful from Latin into English. And as I was researching about him, I knew there must have been something more than just an idea to translate this song. I don't know about you, but when I come to church and I sing songs, there's so much, we know church, don't we, that there's so much more than a melody. We leave with something from them because it's about worship, it's about praise. There's truth woven into the lyrics and woven into the melodies. And I knew that Frederick must have encountered something to have the passion to be willing to go on the journey of translation. So I started looking into his life a little bit and I found this amazing story that just made me sit back and say, now that's what I call faith. And I want to read that for you this morning. It's called The Gift of the Poor Man's Coat. And it says this. In his later years as a Catholic priest, Frederick Oakley served in some of the poorest parts of London. Gone were the polished university halls of his youth. Now he walked the streets crowded with laborers, widows, and hungry children. One bitter evening, he spotted an old man shivering outside the cathedral gates. Clutching to a threadbare coat, without hesitation, Oakley removed his own heavy cloak, the one that he'd worn for years, the one that kept the winter winds at bay, and he wrapped it around the man's shoulders. The man looked up in shock. "But Father, this is yours." Oakley only smiled. "If Christ came to me in my need, would I not do the same?" That night, he walked back through the cold with nothing but his thin cassock to shield him. He whispered a prayer, not for warmth, but for gratitude. His life, he felt, had been guided not by ambition or intellect, but by the quiet call to love. Now, that's what I call faith. Living your life not for intellect or ambition, but out of obedience of a quiet call to love. To have eyes to see the need in the people around you. Evidence of a real personal relationship with Jesus. Faith on display through a life of worship. A quiet call to love. That's what I call faith, church. That is what I call faith. Faith in action. And we all have so many areas in our lives that we could place our faith, don't we? We could place our faith in our job, in our employment. We could place our faith in our friends, in our family, in the community that we've been put around. We could place our faith in something. But I want to tell you today that there is only one place that you can place your faith and find life and life to the full. And that is in the person of Jesus Christ. The reason for Christmas. Let's not miss the power of Jesus in the familiarity of the season that we're in. It's not about the trees. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the food, even though it is so good. Okay, it's a little bit about the food, but it's not all about the food. It's about Jesus. So let's not miss the power of the truth that can change everything. We live in a culture that is missing the point. Your colleagues are missing the point. The people in your schools, in your universities are missing the point. We've forgotten the power of the truth of Christmas. And that is that God the Father sent his son, Jesus, as a baby to be a servant, to serve and not to be served, and to die a death on the cross so that we can be free. That is the power of the gospel. So let's not become so familiar that we miss the point. If we're not careful, we can become over familiar with truth. We can become over familiar with melodies, and we can miss the power of Jesus in it. So what is the truth that Old Come Holy Faithful is singing about? And we're just going to dive into it a little bit over the next few points. But my first point that I think that Oh, Come Holy Faithful draws out and reminds us is that God is real. Simple, but something that's so powerful. It says, born the King of Angels, Word of the Father now appear in flesh. Linking to John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, if you're a Christian in the room, I want you to remember the first time you had that revelation that God is real. I don't know about you, but when I first had that awe moment of realization that God isn't just something I read about, God isn't just someone that someone told me, but God is real. I remember it shaking me to the core in just having this, wow, revelation moment. If you've never had that moment, I'm believing that today that God's going to show up and that he's going to reveal himself to you. And if no one's ever told you this, I want you to know that you are loved, that you were created on purpose, that there is a purpose for your life. God is real. We've started working with a local high school supporting a lunch club that they started on a Friday. And they asked me to come and do a session to launch Christmas for them in this Bible class that they do. And we've only got half an hour, so it's got to be quick. The kids are eating their lunch. And you just got to kind of bring something inspirational. But what's amazing is that up to having nearly 40 students on a Friday to a Bible study, which is amazing in a local school that isn't Christian. It isn't a Christian school. So I thought, right, half an hour, what can we do? So I thought, let's try some true or false statements about the nativity, about the story of Jesus. Now, the year seven's minds were blown. Isaac won't get this because he knows the truth, but think of your friends, mate. Their minds were blown. And one of the statements was, there were three wise men. Year sevens are like, true. I'm like, sorry, guys. False. And they're like, They came up to me after they let my primary school teachers lied. One of them shouted out. And I want to remind you that God is real. This isn't a primary school novelty. This is the truth of Jesus. That you carry the power of the truth this Christmas. In a culture that is missing the point, you know the point, so remind them of the point. Point them back to Jesus and not the gifts underneath the tree. We all have an opportunity to live with eyes to see the need, with eyes to see the opportunity that we can point people back to Jesus. God is real. Jesus is real. Real. It's truth. It is truth. The second point is that God is relevant. I'm going to read a paraphrase from the Message in Philippians 2. And it says, when the time came, he set aside, this is talking of Jesus, he set aside the privileges of deity and took the status of a slave, becoming human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim any special privileges. Instead, he lived a life selfless and obedient. He then died a selfless and obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Church, it is good and proper for us to see Jesus in his lordship. But I want to remind you today that Jesus walked as a human, that he had a human experience. And I think sometimes we can detach Jesus from his human experience by seeing him only as Jesus is Lord. Which is good and proper because Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord above all things. He is the name that every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Amen, church? Amen. But we need to remember that he walked and talked like you. That he had friends like you had friends. That he ate like you eat. That he cried in the same way as that you cry. That things would stir him to tears. That he felt pain in the same way as you and I feel pain. So let's not detach Jesus from his human experience. And let's hold on to the truth that God is relevant. And I want to tell you that Jesus is relevant to your situation today. That Jesus is relevant to the joy in your life. That Jesus is relevant to the pain in your life. Jesus was relevant yesterday. He's relevant today. And guess what? He will always be relevant in Jesus' name. I remember the first time in my life that I saw Jesus being relevant to my pain. And I just remember the moment of the feeling of love, the feeling of a God would join me in this. And I want you to know that no matter what you're walking through, whether good or bad, that Jesus is relevant. That he is relevant to your life. He is relevant to you. He's relevant to the lives of your family that don't yet know him. God is relevant. And O Come All Ye Faithful doesn't just teach us that God is real, and he doesn't just speak of the relevance of God, but it also teaches us a response. Oh, come, let us adore him. Glory to God in the highest. To thee, thine be the glory given. It teaches us to respond to truth with worship. When there's truth, we need to have a response. Do we acknowledge and walk away? Do we grab hold of it? I want to tell you that today, when you choose to respond to truth with worship, that you will meet Jesus in that. That no matter what's going on in your life, when you choose to respond to the truth of Jesus with worship, you will go from looking down at your situation to looking up to the King of Heaven. There is power in the name of Jesus to heal, to restore. God is a redeemer. He is a loving God. He loves you and he's ready to move in your life. But where are your eyes looking? We can all choose a response of worship. See, Frederick Oakley understood this. He understood that moments of worship, yes, are powerful, but what is more powerful is a Christian making their life a moment of worship. Which is why when he left the church, when he left the cathedral, he didn't stop looking for the need of the people. But as he left the cathedral, he saw the man, and out of an act of generosity, out of an act of worship, he gave the coat off his own back to the man in need. In a season that's marked by generosity, I want to challenge you, are we generous for generous sake? Are we generous because that's the thing to do? Or are we generous out of an act of worship? There is an opportunity for us all to live out our worship this Christmas. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you do, eating or drinking, whatever it is, do it all for the glory of God. I want to bring us back to that moment as a church, as this season kickstarts, that we don't miss the power of the truth of Jesus in the familiarity of what's going on around us, but we grasp hold of truth for ourselves, but also for the people that God has placed around us. I want to call us into a life of worship and not just moments of worship. I want you to know that there is opportunity for you this week to live out a life of worship. What would happen if we all committed to live a life of worship? What could happen if we all embraced the truth sang in O Come Holy Faithful? If we all lived every day in the power of God is real? What would our faith look like if in every situation we reminded ourselves that Jesus is relevant, that his power is relevant yesterday, today, and it will always be relevant? What would happen if we all decided to respond to truth in worship? I believe that our city would be changed, not for our glory, but for the glory of God. That as we all commit to in our eating, in our drinking, in our talking, in the way that we come alongside each other, not to do it out of encouragement's sake, but to do it as an act of worship, all for the glory of God. So I want to ask you across this place just to stand to your feet. And we're going to go into a time of worship. And I just believe that as we begin to join with heaven, with the worship that is already happening, that there's going to be a divine moment for the people in the room that have never encountered the living, breathing Spirit of God. I believe, I have faith today that you're going to meet with him. And my prayer is that it's so personal that it's undeniable. That the way that the Holy Spirit speaks to you does something to the core of who you are. That you have a moment like I had of revelation of God is real. that this is truth.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.